research and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. Our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
freedom. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about this morning. I appreciate I appreciate and I attempt very hard to understand people's positions on issues, and I try very hard to understand people's philosophies. I do, and we're all a work in progress, and I'm working on my progress, but I really am, I don't understand. I don't understand people who allow, or no, people who decide that issues that have no bearing on their lives in any real way are going to be the issues that they develop a passion for. Okay? I don't understand. I don't. And I'm looking at, and then that's just people, just everyday people out there that are walking around. It's a free country. People can have whatever passion that they want. They can feel any passion that they want.
just a little too long. Now it's time for me to be strong. Hello, morning. Sure miss you last night.
Welcome back. Hello, morning. This is Liz Brown. This hour, we are talking to Steve Lindman. He's a writer from Chicago, and he is sharing with us a column that he has written, an article that he has written, War Making 101, a user's manual. And, Steve, where can people take a look at some of the things that you have written?
Well, they can find everything I've written at theheadline.com. V is in Venezuela. And they can also find it on my blog site, which is sjlendman.blogspot.com, sjlendman.blogspot.com, and everything is there. I've written on the U.S. prison system, which is a gulag. Most people don't know that. Some of the same things go on there that go on at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and the rest. I've written on the immigration issue, which most people have no idea what the real issue is. Racism is at the heart of it. And a lot more that that the corporate media doesn't want to tell you about. I've written 3 times on Haiti. I've written a number of times in Venezuela, an awful lot more, plus Iraq and so on and so forth. They can find it all there.
Okay, well, let me get to some of our callers.
Oh, sure.
Okay. XX Peter.
Thank you for taking my call. Steve, we don't want to also remember that just this past Wednesday, Evo Morales just came up with a plan to distribute land back to the poor pheasants, which is also good. But I wonder if you could make a comment on Argentina's Néstor Kirchner. And does he stand shoulder to shoulder with a Castro, a Chavez, and also a Morales? Thank you very much.
Not as much as he, but I think he's, I think he may be a leader who wants to have one foot on the right side and one foot on the wrong side. He's done a few good things, and I'm no expert on Argentina. I have not written about Argentina, but
he bears watching, though, doesn't he?
I'm sorry, Liz?
He bears watching, doesn't he?
He does, and I don't think he's doing things exactly the way the Bush folks would like him to do it, but he's playing ball enough so no one is bothering him. The same is true with Lula in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who mostly kind of play the corporate game, but they'll do some things for their own people. The true ones in South America, Chavez, Evo Morales in Bolivia. There's an election coming up on June 4th in Peru, a very important election. There'll be a progressive candidate running against the U.S. choice. I saw some poll numbers. I don't know how accurate they are, but they seem to favor the U.S. choice. I'm not very happy about that.
Okay, let me get to another couple of callers here. Al, you have a question or comment for our guest, Steve Lindman?
I have a question, a quick one. If we do go to war with Iran, do you see Russia and China getting into the war? And
oh, absolutely not.
If Iran changed their currency and wanted to start accepting euros, would that also bring on the war?
Thank you, Al. And I think that that's really that's what's at the heart of it, the whole euro issue.
Absolutely. It's a crucially important issue that nobody would ever think about. The strength of the dollar is the fact that so many people need it, use it, trade in it. Iran is opening an oil bourse to trade
That's
oil,
right.
to sell oil. An oil market to sell oil, and it's just about to open just around now. It may have opened this week.
It was supposed to open a little, I think it was last week. The 16th, I think, was the date of it.
I knew it was just around
right.
May.
Right.
And they want to sell oil in euros. That's exactly what Saddam did.
Mm-hmm.
He sold oil in euros, infuriated the U.S.
Well,
Iran is doing the same thing.
And it's not even just about making the American government mad. If the reason why there's so many people are holding on to so many dollars right now is because the only way you can buy oil is by using American dollars.
Because we rigged the game, Liz.
We rigged it in the 70s. That was the deal that we cut in the 70s.
Yeah.
So now if Iran says, no, you don't have to use dollars to buy oil, you can use euros, the American economy will tank.
If enough of them do it, the U.S. economy will tank big time. It'll be the end. If enough of them did it, it would be the end of U.S. Hegemony. Literally that serious. We know it. We will go to war to prevent countries, too many of them, for giving up the dollar and trading in any other currency. That is a reason for us to go to war.
And that's why we're going. That's why we're going. Jerry, you have a question for our guest, Steve Lindemann. Jerry?
Oh, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have a quick question, please?
My question, do you think that the corporations of America have taken over the political part of America?
Have they ever?
And this why...
Okay, well, that has to be the question. Can you answer that? Because we only have a minute left, Steve.
Oh, absolutely. Corporations rule the world. The politicians are their servants. They pick the ones to be elected. They pick the people to sit on the courts. The corporations run everything. They run the world, and the politicians are nothing but pawns in their hands. The corporations even sign off on wars to fight and against whom and for what reason. That's how much power these people have. Got to get rid of the power of these big corporations, or we will never have our liberties. They steal them from us.
And Steve, I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's been a pleasure, Liz.
It's been a pleasure, too.
The hour's gone by so fast. You want to do another hour?
Wasn't that painful, was it?
Oh, I loved every minute of it. I'll do it again with you anytime you want.
Thank you so much, and we will have you back.
Thank you so much, Liz.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that you blow that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It is an emotional issue, immigration reform, and this ratchets it up even more. ABC's Pam Coulter has more on a pair of amendments tacked on to the Senate's bill.
The English language debate has churned for decades, and it turned emotional on the Senate floor.
I really believe this amendment is racist.
Democratic leader Harry Reid was in the minority as the Senate voted to both make English the official language as well as the common unifying language of the U.S. Supporters say it will help immigrants assimilate, but critics warn it will negate current laws that mandate bilingual services in schools, courts, and voting. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
But that's just one part of the debate over immigration. President Bush is still pushing for a temporary guest worker program.
There's got to be a comprehensive plan to address border security. Part of it's fencing. Part of it is manpower increases. Part of it is infrared detection. But part of it is also to say to somebody, if you're going to come here to do a job somebody's not doing right now, there ought to be a legal way to do so on a temporary basis.
But opponents are still saying that's amnesty, pure and simple. A four-block stretch of Independence Avenue, which borders the Capitol, was closed today after police discovered what they are only calling a suspicious vehicle at this time. They say a hazardous device technician is on the scene. Do you hate to walk barefoot or stocking-footed when you go through airport security? It may soon be a moot point. USA Today is reporting that the government is testing a new scanner and that it detects devices like explosives through shoes, and so far it seems to be working pretty well. So far, so good for Michael Hayden, the president's choice to run the CIA.
CIA needs to get out of the news as source or subject and focus on protecting the American people by acquiring secrets and providing high-quality all-source analysis.
And that's something Hayden had to say in over 7 hours of questioning yesterday. The Dow and the Nasdaq both up in early going. This is ABC News.
Memorial Day's coming, so we're taking the kids to Lowe's to teach them responsibility. You see, between now and Monday, all Olympic Paint has a $5 mail-in rebate on each gallon and 20 on 5 gallons.
So Steven and I can cover his rubber ball marks. And Lowe's has 8x8 cobble patio papers for 97 cents and $20 off their Shop Vac blower.
I can't even say what Jimmy did.
Now when you use your Lowe's consumer card on any purchase of $299 or more, you'll make no payments and get 0% financing for a full 12 months. Lowe's, let's build something together.
Announcing the once-in-a-lifetime Toyota Launch Spectacular, featuring the largest debut in Toyota history. With the all-new Camry, now available in a hybrid. The all-new FJ Cruiser, ready to conquer anything. Yaris, futuristic and affordable. And RAV4, the SUV that handles anything. Of course, there are 16 models in all. And to make room for the new vehicles, there are great deals going on now. But hurry, it all ends soon. Toyota's Launch Spectacular. It's time to move forward.
In case you didn't know by now, The Da Vinci Code opens nationwide today. Reviews of the movie, not great, but it still is expected to do well in its opening weekend. Not if certain church groups around the world have their way. Here's ABC's Linda Albin.
Some churches here in the UK have been seeking ways to counter the code. The Da Vinci Code, that is. Their weapons, simple scratch cards meant to separate fact from fiction, being handed out at cinemas, including the Odeon in London's Leicester Square. Valerie tries question two.
The marriage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene is a matter of historical records. Fact or fiction? I scratched the fact box and I've got it wrong.
Valerie says the scratch cards highlight the fact that many people don't really know what the facts are, and that's what's got the church so worried. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Well, here's something to think about. Why not ditch the wheels today? The four-wheeled variety, your car. This is National Ride Your Bike to Work Day. There are events planned across the country to mark it. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU News Update is brought to you by Accountemps. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Consumers need to beware of secret shopper scams. That's the message from the Missouri Attorney General's office, which is investigating a report by a consumer who answered a secret shopper ad in Jefferson City from a Jefferson City newspaper. Consumer Education Coordinator Travis Ford says a woman reported this week she received a $1,300 money order, which turned out to be fake. She was instructed to keep $100 and wire the remaining $1,200 to an address in Canada.
What happens in the overpayment scam is that you will take the cashier's check or the money order to your bank, and at first glance, the bank will say this looks okay and allow you access to those funds. So then you write a check out of your personal account or you wire money from your funds to the scam artist. And then it turns out the money order or the cashier's check bounces. And then the bank comes back to you and says you're responsible for that original amount of money.
Consumers who have questions or complaints about suspected scams should call the Missouri Attorney General's office at 1-800-392-8222. In other news, a new study indicates that 45% of all workers are cashing out their 401k. John Gannon, the Vice President of Investor Education with the National Association of Securities Dealers, says it's typically younger people who are depleting their retirement savings by taking the money out of their 401k.
Well, they're using it for other purposes, and some of the more common purposes that people are using it for is buying a home, paying off debt, or starting a business. Well, those aren't necessarily a bad thing to do with money. You have to also think that it's very important to save for retirement.
Gannon says cashing out your 401k can have a devastating effect on your future, plus you'll have to pay 10% in tax penalties for cashing out. And finally, flex fuel vehicle owners have one more place to fill up with alternative fuel in Illinois. The Fast Stop Travel Center in Litchfield, the 100th E85 fuel station in the state, opened yesterday. E85 is a blend of 85% ethanol with unleaded gasoline. The fuel sells for about 40 cents less per gallon than regular unleaded. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by Accountemps. Call today to get your free 2006 salary guide providing current salaries for the accounting and financial industry. To see what you're worth, visit Accountemps.com. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sears Auto Centers. westbound 70 between Rice City and Warrenton. There's an accident involving a tractor trailer. Only one lane is blocked this hour southbound at 55 at 7th Street. That exit is closed due to maintenance work. Southbound 170 at Page and Olive, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked. There's a brief backup this hour. Westbound 70 at 94. Look for road construction having left lane closed. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. That traffic is returned back to normal. Westbound 40, there are lane reductions as crews do some maintenance throughout the area, as well as other road construction throughout the area. Eastbound 40 at last Missouri exit is closed due to bridge painting work. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed for daily maintenance. And there are a number of other areas where you have some road construction, so just use caution and slow down in those areas. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears Auto Centers. Your car takes care of you, but how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Center offers full-service car care from diehard batteries to all the top tire brands. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy day, a chance of showers, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy, scattered showers with a low in the mid-50s. Saturday, partly sunny, scattered showers are possible, highs in the mid to upper 70s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, highs in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 59 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. And don't forget, we are streamed every day, 24/7 at WGNU.net. Also, the Wake Up Call is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, please go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. All of you know that that listen to the show, that every Tuesday we spend talking to and about the St. Louis Public Schools. Every Tuesday we spend an hour dissecting, following, keeping tabs on the school board. One of the issues that is a recurring issue is the issue of charter schools. We have tracked through legislation both locally, statewide, and nationally how the issue of charter schools impacts on education as a whole. From the moment I heard about charter schools, I assessed them as another experimentation at the expense of our children's educational future. Experimenting with money in mind. It is my belief from my head to my toes that it's getting more and more difficult to create an Enron and to make that kind of money, to create Worldcons and make that kind of money, the next black gold, if you will, for this nation are the billion-dollar money pots in school districts all across this nation. Charter school, I believe, is part of that beginning march towards gold in them there hills of public schools. Those were my initial thoughts. And as the years have gone on, more and more problems have been articulated as a result of allowing the experimentation of charter schools. Well, there's a new study that has come out that speaks specifically to that issue. It's a study that has been released by the Economic Policy Institute, and it was published by Teachers College Press. And it addresses the issue of charter schools. And we're going to talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, Rebecca Jacobson, she is a researcher at the Economic Policy Institute. She's joining us from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Are you staying dry over there?
Just a little bit. A little bit of rain this morning.
Okay. You have a study that came out a while ago. On this issue of charter schools. Tell me, why did you, your organization, decide to take a look at charter schools?
Well, we became really interested in charter schools. We've always been interested, but in particular, in the summer of 2004, there was a front page article in the New York Times that stated that charter schools were doing on average about as well as regular public schools, and in some cases might even be doing a little bit less well than regular public schools. And of course, this sort of front page article hit, and many supporters of charter schools, those that are the most vehemently, you know, in favor of charter schools, rushed in to say that, well, the study is flawed and there's all sorts of problems, and this sort of set off a storm of controversy. And we wanted to look more carefully at that controversy, and not just based on speculation, but really based on evidence, to find out, well, what is the state of charter schools and how are they doing?
Okay, so when we ask the question of charter schools, a lot of people buy into charter schools because of a lot of representations that charter school proponents make. One of the things that they talk about is that because charter schools are, they would even use the word liberated from unions and regulations, they will be, the accountability of the schools will be stronger, and they will compete with public schools as a result. How did that turn out in your study? Did you take a look at that?
We sure did. We find this argument of liberating and deregulating schools in order to be more innovative just really interesting, because whenever you deregulate anything or experiment or try things new, it's almost intuitive in every other area that when you try something new, often you fail first before you succeed.
And, or if you succeed.
Right. And so we find it really interesting that the idea is that, you know, you just automatically liberate it, and that people will automatically do better. And in some cases, there are some charter school creators that do really remarkable things. But at the other end of it, at the other extreme, you also then allow charter school creators to do some things that are not very good, and in fact are much worse than the regular public schools. So for every example you see of a fantastic charter school, in order for the average performance to come out to be about the same, that means that at the other end, there are charter schools that are doing much worse.
Freedom from bureaucracy. They say that they are free from bureaucracy. What has been the cost of that, based on your study?
The cost of that is that when you have the freedom to do as you would like, in one case hiring teachers, that freedom allows some schools to hire really top teachers that are not certified in traditional ways, that have really extensive math and science backgrounds. But at the other end of that, because there are no regulations, you then have schools that hire teachers who are even less qualified, who have no experience, who have very little background, and do a worse job. So bureaucracy can sometimes, you know, try to tighten up those parameters and may prevent some of the top end, but it also prevents the real low end as well.
And since you did a study, let's talk about the numbers of that. When you took a look at the numbers, what were the percentage of certified teachers hired in charter schools and the numbers of certified teachers hired in regular public schools?
We did look at this and found, we actually looked at some work that others have done in this area and found that in particular in math and science, it seems that charter schools on average, while some schools may do a better job, on average they're not doing as well in hiring teachers that have experience, that have extensive background. It does seem that charter schools hire slightly more teachers from Ivy League educations, but they're not hiring more with math and science backgrounds and some of those issues. And when you start looking at, you know, across the board at all schools, it sort of begins to wash out.
And the numbers, is it true that 75% of charter schools teachers are certified compared to 93% of regular public school teachers?
You know, I'm not remembering the exact numbers off the top of my head. It is in our book, in our study that we released. I think that if that's from our book, then mm-hmm. that's accurate, yes.
Now, in terms of the issue of the accountability of charter schools, are they more accountable?
This is another interesting question. In theory, they're supposed to be accountable, both by parents who have the right then to take their student out of a school if they're not satisfied, which can lead to increased mobility. Sometimes we see churning of students in charter schools where they're hopping from one school to the next, which even if they're moving to a better school, movement disrupts a child's learning and can depress their learning because they have to adjust to a new environment, a new school, a new teacher, as well as the students that were already in that class. They also are disrupted in their learning when a new student moves in. So even though they may be moving to a quote-unquote better school, that movement can be disruptive as well. So that accountability from the parental side can have some negative consequences as well. And then in terms of charter authorizing, shutting down schools that are not achieving, we actually found that most often charter schools are closing because of financial corruption. They're not closing because of the low test scores and accountability in that terms. And we found that less than 1% of charter schools are being closed for actual accountability because of low performance.
And one of the other things that your study took a look at is the issue of disadvantaged students versus students that are not disadvantaged. Talk to us about that component of your study, and what is it that you found?
This question of, you know, who is disadvantaged and who is not becomes very nuanced. And when you begin looking at the numbers, it does appear that charter schools enroll more African-American students. However, they actually enroll more students that are African-American but are less likely to be part of the free and reduced lunch program, which is most often how schools judge whether or not students are considered disadvantaged.
Well, that's one of the things about charter schools. They're allowed to cherry pick. They're allowed to pick who they want and not let in who they don't want.
And often what's sort of not well understood about the idea of picking is that even when charter schools do claim to have open lotteries, those parents are opting in to even get their child into the lottery. So while they may pull a random group of kids from the lottery, who's in the lottery are already those parents that are more motivated, more informed, better able to access those services, leaving those students who don't have those same advantages or know-how or just simply lack of information because it's not being provided to them, they're never even making it into the lottery.
And is it also, or can it also be factored in that some school districts don't provide free transportation to charter schools, so it's the student that attends that school has to come up with their own transportation?
Definitely. The transportation issue becomes very key, especially for younger children. And for parents with multiple children at different grade levels and different ages to be at different schools that have different time schedules, that have different break schedules, it becomes very difficult then for some parents to access charter schools, and whereas others may have more ability to access them. So it's not truly a representative set of students.
So then when we look at these charter schools, they pick students that do not fit the definition of disadvantage. How does that work for the when you analyze student achievement? Because I think that there are some that would say, well, if you pick kids that are not quote unquote as disadvantaged, then achievement is going to improve. Did that happen?
Well, even in some of the studies that did try to really take it into account all these different demographic backgrounds, it still seemed that charter schools were doing about as well and in some cases slightly worse than regular public schools, even with some of this selectivity. Now, there are plenty of cases that, you know, we see all the time in the media about some charter schools that do really phenomenal things, but those tend to be more the exception, whereas when you look across at all schools, they're not the rule. And achievement's actually going slightly less. And that also has an impact on the regular public schools. For those schools that do pull away that set of parents that's most motivated, that's most informed, that have the time to really be involved in the school, then you're leaving the regular public schools without those same parents.
But also, aren't we taking away funding from public schools as well?
Yes, the dollars travel with the students. Each state is slightly different in terms of the funding formula, but public schools then do not receive that funding.
And in terms of the places where you looked, where you did the study, what were the states, what were the areas, and why were those particular states chosen?
We really looked at, we tried to do an analysis of studies that had already been done before. We didn't do our own study. We looked at things that had been done and really looked at places like Arizona, where there's a large charter school population. We looked at multiple studies that had been done in California, some that had been done in Texas and Pennsylvania. And not only were we looking at the results of their studies, but also the quality of these studies to find out, are they, as you suggested, really looking at student background to find out, well, who are the students that are attending these schools, and what is their profile? Are they the typical student from the area? And many of the studies have not done as good a job as trying to figure that out, and sometimes just simply look at race and class. And, you know, we know that there's far more to a student's success than just those two pieces.
When we take a look at the charter school movement, how many years has this nation been discussing this? Charter schools have been around?
The first charter school started in Minnesota back in 91 or 92 is when the idea first began, and the charter schools actually started there. So it's been several years now that this has been starting, and new states each year continue to authorize legislation so that charter schools may be started. So some states have had charter schools in operation much longer than other places.
So when we take a look at the movement, the speed of the movement, the depth of the movement, what can we say about charter schools? Are they closing as many as they are opening? Is the movement still moving forward?
I think that it's definitely still moving forward. It's still a popular idea that many people are talking about. Many people still believe that, you know, this deregulation will freeing schools from the bureaucracy and the stranglehold of school districts and unions will really push achievement forward. That popular idea still exists. Whether or not it's supported by actual research is not being discussed as much, and that seems to be more the problem in the movement, is that we have not really begun to talk about, well, what are some of the downsides to this deregulation? What are the policy consequences for students who do not opt into the charter school system, and is that right? And what about students that are attending schools that are failing? What's the policy consequences of that? The movement is not looking at that.
What's the conclusion that you draw from your at the end of your book?
We really look at a couple of areas and think that this is a dilemma, a policy dilemma that needs to be more considered, both from the positives and the negatives. And that, sure, when you deregulate, you may have some schools that post higher scores, that do better and do more, but then you also have schools that do far worse. And thinking about whether or not we're willing to do that to students. Are we willing to open it up so that some can do even better while others do even worse? And this is something that we haven't looked at enough. We've also looked at, you know, who attends, and it does not appear that who's attending charter schools are less better off, that they're the more disadvantaged of the disadvantaged students. It doesn't seem that those are students that are attending. Instead, they're being left behind in the regular public schools, who are then dealing with even greater concentrations of students with disadvantages and less to work with then. And we also see some increased segregation in some of the studies that have been done. And that's another issue that we have to grapple with. If parents are opting to send their children to schools that are more segregated, is this the direction that we want to be going with our public system?
Rebecca Jacobson, a researcher at Economic Policy Institute. Where can people find out about your book and about this study?
You can definitely look at the Economic Policy Institute's website, which is www.epinet.org.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. We're going to, you don't want to miss this. We're going to have some fun with George W. Bush. You want to know what the challenges are? You don't want to miss this audio clip that we're going to be playing in the next hour. I'm Liz Brown. Get to me. I'll be back.
When somebody hears, listen to the fear that's gone.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743
or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Come on out to the second annual Teachers Ball. This is a stress reliever for the teachers and all those who support them. At the Formula, 1204 Washington, Friday, May 19th. Doors open at 7, $10 in advance, $20 at the door. For ticket information, call 454-9911. That's 454-9911. The Teachers Ball. Get your party on.
That masked radio host.
I wanted to thank him.
I bake him a pie.
Folks, that was the Sloan Ranger. Be sure to listen when Lloyd Sloan rides the airwaves in the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Oh, no, that's Superman.
Nope. Anyway, Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask.
A young caller, away!
Listen to the Sloan Ranger here on WGNU weekdays at 5 p.m. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Get us out Thursday.
Lloyd Sloan, every weekday here at 5 o'clock.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
The Wake Up Call is planning a special program addressing the issues of veterans. If you have served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, or any other areas of military action and would like to share some of the challenges you faced, not only in combat but when you returned home and how you dealt with them, we'd like to hear from you for a possible guest appearance on this special Wake Up Call broadcast set for Friday, May 26th, just before Memorial Day. Post-traumatic stress, benefit cuts, recruiting promises that went unkept, whatever you might like to share. Call 454-6660 and ask for me, Joe Garcia, or contact me via email at broadcast@wgnu.net. Again, this special wake-up call broadcast dealing with veterans issues will take place on Friday, May 26th.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had.
Oh, redemption songs. This is Liz Brown. 1-877-920-WGNU, 454-0400 is the phone number. And then after the next break, of course, we will do the Because We Care package giveaway. I talk about Boy George almost every day. Talk about him because of the impact of his decisions on our daily lives. I talk about him from the perspective of the people that he surrounds himself with. And I also talk about him from the perspective of he's an idiot. And people, some people take exception to that, and some people may say that that's rather harsh, and some people might say that that's kind of intolerant. So I'm going to let you be the judge of his intellectual prowess and capabilities. You listen to this and tell me I'm a lie.
Recently, $12.7 billion was cut from education, and I was just wondering, how is that supposed to help our futures?
Education budget was cut. What was cut?
$12.7 billion was cut from education, and I just want to know, how is that supposed to help our
futures? At the federal level?
Yes.
I don't think that, we've actually, for higher education?
Yes, student loans.
Actually, no. I think what we did was reform the student loan program.
Huh? That's the answer that you get from the guy that is, how much did we cut? No, we were reforming it. We were reforming. No, see. That wasn't a cut. No, you can't get as much as you used to. No, you can't go to the colleges that you want to. But don't tell me that that's a cut. That's reforming. That's reforming. Get it straight.
Actually, no. I think what we did was reform the student loan program.
See? Okay, you know what? I take it back. I was wrong. We didn't cut it. We reformed it. Reformed thousands and thousands of children out of their education. Reformed them all the way out. Maurice.
Yes, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. Is it me?
No, it's not you.
All right.
You know what? It's not you. It's our microwave society. What I mean by that is we have a society that, you know, fail to, you know, try to learn. We like to be told. And whatever we're told, we take that as the gospel and run with it. You know, I have a saying that I use, and it's real simple. You know, you have a person who, you know, don't care, and that's a dangerous person. You know, and that one person, be it a rich person, poor person, what have you, but you got that one person who just don't care, and that person is dangerous for himself, and he's dangerous to you. But if you have a so-called person in power, someone who has wealth and who has influence over not only their lives but your life, and you have this person who not only don't care about you but also has no faith and has the feeling that they're unaccountable to no one, that person is not only dangerous to themselves and you, but they're dangerous to a lot of other people too. And I just pose this question: which person is more dangerous?
Thanks for your call.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone.
Well, Liz, hasn't federal spending on education doubled in the last 7 years?
Which kind of education are you talking about, Bob?
Public education.
Public education with
public education.
With respect to elementary schools?
Elementary, secondary, and post-secondary.
Okay,
all
because
together.
You realize, of course, that the young woman was asking Bush the question about college education and student loans.
I know, but
okay, all right,
to call the president an idiot because one part of the federal budget for 1 year, they've changed the program and eliminated some spending when the overall picture should be given also.
But you're not. But
am I right or wrong about the
question? Before we get to that, we have to, because I understand why you're calling. You're calling in response to the question that was asked.
I think he's been a great education president is why I'm calling, if you want to just get right down to it, as far as spending money.
And again, all right, if you think that he has been a great education
as far as
president,
spending money.
And it, well, education is spending money as well as doing other things. With regard to on a college level, he has been a miserable president. Two things that have happened that are going to take place this year that is going to create a generation of debt that has never existed before is the interest rates that are going to double on college loans. That is something that is going to be devastating to many, many, many students that have taken out loans. Students today, in the because of the regulations and the rules and the attitudes that have been changed about education, students today have to take out more money for college education than they've ever had to do in any other generation prior to them. And it has been as a result, and the reason why the education budget has been cut so much is as a result of having to pay for this war that has been, that was started by this particular administration. With regard to the amount of money that is being spent on schools by this president, you have to look at it in two ways. You have to look at it as a result of the No Child Left Behind Act that was, the name was stolen from Miriam Edelman, but he's taken the name on No Child Left Behind. As a result of that policy and practice, schools are finding themselves, we can look at the St. Louis public schools as an example, schools have been inflicted with what are called unfunded mandates. They are now supposed to do testing for students in a way that they've never done it before, but the government has given them no money to do that. As a result of schools having to now do this testing, they are taking money from programs that they've had in the past in order to comply with this No Child Left Behind. So any funding that this administration has directed to education has been dwarfed by the spending that the schools have had to engage in order to comply with No Child Left Behind.
Well, you've just talked in a huge circle. The truth is, in the city of St. Louis public schools, more money is spent per student than any school district in the state except Kansas City.
And why is that, Bob?
And the problem.
And why is that, Bob? Why is there more money spent? Why is there more money spent on children in the urban areas of Kansas City and the city of St. Louis? Why is that?
Okay, if I can.
Why is that?
It's because the kids come to school with problems that they picked up in the home.
No, Bob. No, Bob, that is not accurate. That is not. That is not accurate. The money, when you look at the money, when you look at the money that is spent on each child in the city of St. Louis, that number includes the cost of the buildings in that district, the older buildings in that district, the keep up on the buildings in that district, and the money that is spent on children in St. Louis. Clayton has the special school district. Clayton School District doesn't have to spend the same amount of money per child because the special needs of the kids that live in the Clayton School District, they go to the special school district. So that money is spent on those children. So it's not an apples to apples comparison, Bob.
Well, I know that in my district, the voters just in the last couple of months turned down a bond issue to build two new schools.
Mm-hmm.
In the city of St. Louis, they build new schools all the time. But
no, they don't build new schools, Bob. No, they don't, Bob. No, Bob, you have been uninformed about everything that you've talked about. You want to talk about the money spent on the children, I just explained to you. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison. A child in Clayton doesn't have as much money spent, or more of their money can go into the educational piece of it because their schools are newer and because they have a special school district where they don't have to take their money to spend on special needs students. They're all in the special school district. We don't have that in the city of St. Louis. So we have to spend more money on our children. Our buildings are older. Our buildings require more maintenance, and we have special needs children in our district. Yes, we spend more money per child because we have to, and not because the children come from such horrible homes. It would be so easy. It would be so easy, but Columbine has shown us that they're the type of children that we need to be watching out for. We're going to be back. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I had a home with no privacy. I didn't know a thing about my legacy. When I realized you were there for me, called on your name, you came.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators. We're talking about these really sweet, high-end refrigerators. Really, really fantastic. High-end stoves and stoves all between. You need to get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge because it's the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. It's convenient. It has the best customer service. And you know what? You know what? It has the best deals. Get on down there. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Construction is well underway on the large U.S. Embassy complex in Baghdad. A subcontractor of Kellogg Brown & Root has the $600 million contract and has already gotten $480 million, even though it has no expertise in constructing such a project. The funding has come out of a special appropriation for embassy security and maintenance, and not out of the money set aside for Iraq reconstruction. First Kuwait General Trading and Contracting has already been criticized for inhumane treatment of its Asian workers. About 900 laborers are living on the embassy site as the work continues. The 100-acre complex is being designed on the plush side because the State Department says it'll make it easier to recruit people to work in Iraq and possibly even bring their families with them. Right now, the State Department staff is living in trailers inside the Green Zone and have temporary offices at one of Saddam Hussein's old palaces. With such amenities as a pool, a gym, as well as its own water treatment plant and electrical generating system, it appears that there will be an American presence in Iraq for many years to come. And a Dateline Los Angeles. A new documentary will be shown this weekend on HBO, and the military is not crazy about it. The film is called Baghdad ER, and it's a graphic depiction about what the doctors on the front line of the war are seeing every day in the way of casualties. Emmy-winning filmmakers John Alpert and Matt O'Neill spent 2 months last year at the 86th Combat Support Hospital in Baghdad. That facility is where wounded soldiers are first taken when they're hurt or killed by IEDs or suicide bombers. The movie breaks an unwritten Defense Department rule and shows actual suffering by Americans instead of just Iraqis. The wounded are depicted in all of their goriness, and the medical personnel express their true feelings of having to deal with death and maiming on a daily basis. One doctor is asked what he wants for the 4th of July holiday, and he responds by saying, "Not having another dead soldier." The Pentagon has authorized private advanced screenings of the film for this week at 22 military bases to try and soften the blow. Top brass feel the realism may further undermine public support for the war, especially at a time when the commander-in-chief's popularity is at an all-time low. Baghdad ER is to be shown this Sunday and then repeated on Memorial Day on HBO. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Want to help local charities and not-for-profit groups? Want to have a great time doing it? Then head downtown to Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey in Soulard this Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. for a party on the patio. Every week, a different organization receives a portion of the proceeds and all the tips that their volunteer servers can bring in. There's a featured drink each week, free hors d'oeuvres, and live music. Summer fun and helping others has never been so easy. Party on the patio with Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey all summer long. This week's party benefits the Wishing Well.
Hi, I'm Carrie of our show.
And I'm Elaine Adams. Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday starting May 11th from 4 until 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
Featured weekly, a diverse segment of the female population where dialogue is exchanged about issues of immediate concern and topics that could become conversations of the late night. The ladies' room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in the ladies' room.
Got a meeting in the ladies' room.
I don't need this.
I'll be back real soon.
That's why I get the beam in the ladies'
room. Got a meeting in the ladies' room.
Where's my jewelry?
I'll be back real soon.
it work? Yes. Is it still easy? You bet. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner each week and deliver a basket of goodies to the winning workplace. You have to hurry, though. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees and family of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Whether you're hauling a load or just hitting the road, AutoZone has everything you need for your truck or SUV. We've got all the latest accessories, truck boxes, bed covers, step bumpers, and winches, plus everything you need to tow and travel safely, like hitches and hitch balls, couplers and locks, drawbars, lights, and adapters. With more than 750,000 parts, AutoZone is the only place to shop for your truck or SUV. So get in the zone. AutoZone.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Voices that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Wake Up Call, and it's time, it's time for the Liz Brown Because We Care package drawing. We're just going to draw one this week. Yes, we're going to draw one. So think positive thoughts, think powerful thoughts as we put in for and get into the Wake Up Call Liz Brown Because We Care package. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. And the winner this week is, as we have turned the barrel and turned the barrel and turned the barrel, Tracy Thompson. Congratulations, congratulations. You are a winner of the Liz Brown Because We Care package. Congratulations. And don't worry if you didn't get called this week. We'll call you next week, maybe. Just keep on, keep on, keep on signing up. And there we go. Tracy Thompson, congratulations. You are this week's winner. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Kathy.
Oh, hi, Liz. I was wondering if you could tell us the difference between the magnet and the charter school.
That's a good question. The charter school is a school that has to get a, the way to make it clear is it's run by a business. They have to get a charter from, a waiver from, permission from a school district, and you get sponsors of a charter school. As a result of that, they are separate from the district, separate from the perspective of they don't have to adhere to the same teacher certification regulations that the public schools do. They don't have to adhere to the testing requirements that the public schools do. And there's profit built into those who sponsor that particular charter school. A magnet school, on the other hand, think of it as a magnet school in the city of St. Louis has been a school that has been designed as a result of the DSEG agreement. The DSEG agreement said that there had to be certain types of schools created in the city of St. Louis, specialty schools, if you will, that children that
create an environment that you get white children and black children in the city of St. Louis. So, like, for instance, McKinley's middle school is a magnet school. It has different types of educational requirements, different types of educational focus, and oftentimes the magnet schools are the schools of choice because they have higher academic standards that they adhere to.
Well, I'll tell you, Liz, my own personal experience, I had one child that went for a while to the magnet school in the city. I'm in the county. And they were farther behind.
When did they go to the magnet school?
That was in the, the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And they even had the press come in, but we couldn't talk to them. I said, they're behind.
And what's so interesting is that there's a really good friend of mine. Her son has gone from the Montessori schools all the way to Metro School. And because of what was happening in the St. Louis Public School District, his mother and father looked at other schools. He went into other schools, and he was so far ahead. When he was interviewed at St. Louis U High, they couldn't believe how far ahead he was based on the education that he received from the magnet school education of the St. Louis Public Schools. Maybe it was the time, too.
Oh, the time.
You know, because that sounds like it was early on in the magnet school program.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So maybe.
It was just, I think, maybe coming, around, and they were reporting on that.
Yeah.
And things weren't really panning out very well.
Well, I think it's like at the beginning of every program, I think that every school doesn't start at the top. Every school works.
What if we removed all the politics?
I don't think you can remove the politics from anything in the world, Kathy. Everything in the world
has
politics.
No, I mean just separate that and not have that come into the child being educated.
Well, explain to me the politics that you would like to see removed.
Well,
for example,
a lot of teachers feel, I guess maybe it's the politics between the administration and the teacher and the classroom and everything. It seems like a lot of teachers complain to me about the fact that they have tremendous amount of paperwork, tremendous amount of planning and this and that. If they could just devote more time towards the teaching or the guide, I call the teacher the guider, because she's really the guider. She's the person who guides us. I wouldn't teach at people. I would guide them and then incorporate them into the classroom, because when my kids were growing up, those were the teachers that they loved. Brought them into the classroom.
Okay, I get. We have like 30 seconds left here, and this is a much longer conversation than the one that you and I are having.
Yeah.
There is a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of administrative things that teachers have to do. I don't know what the solution of it is, because a lot of that stuff is very important as well. So I don't know what the answer is. I think that there has to be a better balance of that.
I just feel like the ones I've talked to are under a tremendous amount of pressure to devote time away from the student as opposed to with the student, Liz. That's all.
Okay, and I want to thank you for that.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place on Monday.